Yo, what's good? Laugh Not Die Later. The greatest, the best, the rawest, the greatest podcast of all time because you speak the truth and nothing but the truth. And you carry everything raw in life. And today, my guest goes with the theme of the podcast. I don't know you too well. By the way, my guest today is Brandon Hutchins. I got it right. And yeah, so I was doing my research. I was like, when I met you that day, I was like, okay, this guy, Red Fred Perry, like, that's kind of like a violent thing to like have. You know what I mean? Like a bloody Fred Perry.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Knows a lot about records, and like the one thing I did notice about you when I met you at Going Underground, shout out to Going Underground, shout out to Adam, is you were like really smiling about like violent stuff, which is kind of like, which like you, I mean, you were smiling throughout the whole conversation, but when you would like, when tell stories about like just violent gigs and like shit that like most people, you like seem like happy.
You know, I don't know if I'd say I'm happy. I'm not like a violent person per se or anything, but you know, if you've been going to shows in Southern California long enough, you're gonna see some crazy shit. Like,
have you toured a lot?
I have, yeah.
Do you think Southern California is more violent than the average?
For whatever reason, Southern California has always kind of had like more of an edge to it. I don't know why that is, but I mean, you know, I grew up like going to high school. I mean, we'll talk about kind of all that, but going to backyard gigs and stuff like that. I mean, there's always been fights. There's always been crazy stuff. Stuff that you don't really see in other parts of the country. For whatever reason that might be.
What do you think are like the top five most violent places that you've been in the U.S.? Like hardcore shows.
I mean, well, hardcore shows, yeah. It's kind of different because, you know, some cities are kind of passive and it's kind of like a more politically correct nature. So people aren't really moshing and going crazy. And then some places people are going nuts. Like, for example, Cleveland has always been pretty legendary in terms of how wild their shows are. You know, lots of fireworks, lots of, like, shopping carts being thrown around, you know, crazy stuff like that. I mean, that's just pretty legendary, especially with a lot of the 90s and early 2000s bands like Gordon Solie Motherfuckers, Nine Trucks Terror, H100s, on and on and on.
So that was, like, I mean, that's a subgenre in of its own, like, comically, like, violent hardcore.
It's pretty ridiculous, yeah.
Like, that's not a thing no more. Or
not really, you know. You don't really hear about that stuff anymore. And I don't know if it's necessarily because the climate has changed politically or because, you know, there's just younger kids in the scene and they don't really do that stuff anymore. But that definitely seems to be something that was more so in the past. And, like, maybe I kind of caught, like, the tail end of it. You know, I remember seeing the Gordon Solie Motherfuckers reunion show in, like, 2007. In Texas, and it was just, like, out of control. Like people were breaking bottles and throwing glass and throwing trash cans. I think that was kind of, like, that, you know, up until, like, the early 2010s, that was sort of, like, the tail end of it. And then the past, like, 5 to 10 years, it's been much more mellow in terms of, like, just crazy shit that you would see at shows.
Because there's a difference. There's a different type of violence. There's, like, kind of, like, Donnybrook, like, tough guy, big guy, like,
yeah, screaming at you.
And,
yeah.
And then there's, like, from just, I mean, I wasn't around, but, like, videos I've seen, like, Gordon Solie Motherfuckers, I was like, this is, like, nerdy, but, like, down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
and I mean, people still got hurt, for sure.
No, yeah, like, yeah, no, it's like, it's like.
But it wasn't like you were intentionally trying to beat someone
up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, someone just got hit by a trash can because it got thrown across the room.
Yeah.
It's like you're not trying to maliciously really hurt anyone.
Yeah, it's not like, it's
not to say that, you know,
it's just kids like wrestling.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's a lot of just dumb shit, like people being dumb. Like, I remember I played a show in, like, Richmond, Virginia years ago, probably, like, 2013 or 14. And, like, it was in an apartment upstairs, and people were, like, lighting off Roman candles. Like, I'm in an apartment right now. It's probably, like, 1,000 square feet, and it was smaller than this. And people were lighting off Roman candles while bands are playing and stuff. Like, this girl's hair caught on fire. Like,
oh, shit.
But it wasn't, like, malicious. It was just, like, people being dumb.
It was, like, funny.
It was funny, yeah. I mean, she didn't care. Like,
okay.
But,
okay.
I mean, I wouldn't want my hair to catch on fire. And I'm sure most people wouldn't, but she was not.
Like, oh, she's a cig and my hair is
Yeah, on. Exactly, exactly.
All right, so let's go back in time.
We'll start from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. How'd you get into punk? How'd you get into hardcore?
It's kind of funny. So I grew up in, like, the Cerritos, Lakewood, Long Beach area. Like, I went to school in those cities, grew up there. I grew up with my grandparents and my mom. My dad was never in the picture. Kind of came from, like, a working class family. My mom's a nurse. Grandpa was a mechanic. Grandma was a secretary. So didn't really have a lot of money and stuff growing up.
You were raised by all three of them?
All three of them. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My mom couldn't afford a place on her own, so we lived with my grandparents. And so, you know, went to school and all that shit. Probably around, like, 11 or 12 years old. So I want to say, like, middle school era. You know, I don't really know how it kind of happened, but I think maybe I just saw some kids at school. They'd wear, like, a Rancid shirt, or, like, I had a cousin who wore, like, a No Effects shirt.
How old are you?
I'm 36.
So this is, like, when Rancid was popular.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That shit was pretty popular. I mean, it wasn't, like, the 90s, but it was, like, you know, late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
I'm class of 05, so I started in 01. So, you know, that stuff was still pretty popular, and it's always been popular in Southern California. Like, you'd hear Pennywise on the radio and shit, so it's, like, that was kind of the gateway. It's, like, you know, those big, 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 big bands, like Green Day, Pennywise, Rancid, No Effects, blah, 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 blah. Around, like, my freshman year of high school, do you know the skater Lance Mountain?
What?
Do you know the skater Lance Mountain?
Lance Mountain, yeah, I've heard the name.
He's, like, an old school skater from the 80s, like, huge back in the day. So I went to high school with his son, Lance Mountain Jr.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lance Mountain Jr., sick.
Yeah, and he would, and I kind of dressed with, like, you know, I'd wear, like, Vans and, like, blue jeans. Like, you know, I used to skate, like, when I was much younger, until about, like, 18 or 19, and I just stopped. And anyway, him and I had a class together, and we kind of just started talking, and then that's when he told me about, like, the Sex Pistols, the Clash, the Ramones, shit like that. And I, you know, would save up whatever money I could get from, like, doing chores or, like, allowance or whatever, you know, and I would just go buy CDs, and it would kind of just start from there. And then I, we had, like, AOL and stuff back in the day. And I found out about, like, LimeWire and Kazaa and all that stuff. So I could download, like, songs here and there. And then it kind of just progressed from there. I just felt like I was really hungry for, like, information and for more bands. Fast forward a couple years later, I'm, like, 15, 16. Go to my first ever show. It was an old punk show. It was the Buzzcocks.
Okay.
In probably, like, 2004. And then, you know, I kind of started to go, like, a couple more local shows here and there. Started going to record stores and hanging out more, you know, buying CDs, buying records. And then I met previous podcast guest, Chris Kirk.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, I met...
Oh, I think you've been in Chris Kirk for that long?
I know Chris Kirk for almost 20 years now. I met Chris at a record store in Huntington Beach that we ended up both working at called Vinyl Solution.
Is it still around?
It is still around.
Okay, sick.
It's like a legendary spot in Huntington Beach. I met Chris there... Just kind of randomly one night. I think I was probably like 16 or 17 years old. So it's probably 2004. And Chris is like a year older than me. And yeah, we just started talking about music. You know what I mean? Into a lot of the same stuff. I started really getting into like early 80s US hardcore. Like Negative Approach, Necros, you know, kind of Septic Death. Like some of the more obscure stuff.
Chris Kirk does not like Negative Approach.
He does not like Negative Approach.
It's just so fucking...
It's very...
He's in a band like Locke. I'm like, how do you not like Negative Approach? That's so stupid.
It is super funny, but... Yeah. Him and I have argued about that a lot, but...
That's like...
That's a different... That's a whole different
thing. Yeah, but every time I think about Chris Kirk, I hear his name, I'm like, this guy does not like Negative Approach. But yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Anyway, Chris was kind of the one who was telling me about, like, newish, more modern bands at the time. Like, he lent me a CD, a Burn CD, that had Septic Death on it and then Nine Shocks Terror on it. I was like, I don't know what this is. I know Septic Death is, but I don't know Nine Shocks. He's like, yeah, listen to it. It's really good. And so I started listening to it. I was like, wow, this is great. Like, I didn't know there were necessarily modern bands outside of, like, that big, you know, sort of Green Day, Rancid circle that were making, like, punk. So that was sort of my first introduction to DIY hardcore and punk. I met Chris's other friends, who he was in a band with at the time, called Harpoon Guns. I'm sure he mentioned it. And we started going to, like, more DIY shows. So I'd see, like, Iron Lung, career suicide, like, fucked up, regulations, just shit like that, and stuff of the time, like direct control, government warning, annihilation time, blah, 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 blah.
The big bands.
Exactly, but at the time, like, they weren't necessarily even big, they were just, like, touring all the time, okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was cool, and it was, like, a really fun time. Met a lot of people. I'm still in contact with a lot of them today.
That's a very valuable thing. Like, when I interviewed Sean Lim, he said they're like, he knew Sam Boston for like since they were kids. And,
yeah.
And I was just like, that is crazy for two people to meet at such a young age and be into like this very hyper specific. You're not into like just Metallica. You know what I mean? You're into like this.
It's
like,
a very hyper specific.
Yeah, thing. And it's like that's super rare and like valuable. But what'd your parents think about like you're being into like.
They weren't into it, really. Like, they weren't into that music at all. My mom listens to, like, modern country.
Okay.
She listens to, like, Taylor Swift and shit. You know what I mean? She's like 67 years old. She doesn't like any of this music.
At the time, she was...
She didn't like it at all.
What were your grandparents saying?
My grandma passed away when I was 15, so he didn't really get to know it. And then my grandma didn't really care, so it didn't really matter.
One thing about you is that you're into... Well, one thing that goes with the violence part is that you're really into wrestling. Was that around the same time?
So I got into wrestling in around 1997. So I was 10 years old. And I've been watching it ever since.
Okay.
So I mean, again, like I wouldn't say I'm into violence, but at the time when I was going to shows, it was like fun just to see a bunch of crazy shit happen.
Okay.
No one was getting hurt seriously. No one was like beating anyone up. You know what I mean? It was just kind of like fun. Goofy stuff, which in retrospect is probably really stupid, but that's kind of how it is when you're 17, 18.
So you're this like 16, 17 year old kid.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting going to shows. Is there anything that's kind of pushing you back from seeing like this just because like just very DIY, very organic, not like there is, like I said, no stage, like, and especially I hear stories back in the day, like hardcore, like no matter how big the band is now, back then, like, nobody was going to, you know what I mean? It was like 30 people max.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. Like, some shows were bigger back then. Like, Tragedy was always huge whenever they played. There'd be like...
How many people would be?
Probably like... So there's a venue in Long Beach called the Long Beach Warehouse.
Okay.
And that's where like a majority of the shows I went to were when I was probably like 18, 19, 20. And like Tragedy, there'd be like 700, 800 people there. Same thing with like Limp Wrist. There'd be like 700, 800 people there. But then you'd see... you know, like regulations, and there's like maybe 100 people there or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it kind of depends. Career Suicide, same thing. Like, I wasn't there, but I know I missed them by like a year or two at the smell, but there was like 40, 50 people there.
Okay. Was 700, 800 people like the ceiling of how much?
That was pretty big for a DIY show. I mean, that was massive.
No, like, it is massive. But like, I'm trying to think now, like, bands are filling up the Velasco. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The ceiling is way
crazier now. I mean, you have like Sound Inferior where it's like 6,000 people.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Or even like, I went to like a bunch of the Chaos and Taos gigs, you know, and I saw Hoax play in front of like a couple thousand people at like this big warehouse hangar that they had. So it really was kind of like this weird time in like hardcore and punk where it was like, some bands were bigger, some bands weren't. Like, I saw Annihilation Time play to, like, not many people back in the day, and now, you know, they just played last night, it was, like, packed.
Okay. But, like, even, like, the venues, because I was, like, even, like, big, well-known hardcore shows like that, Hellfest 2000.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, just, it's, like, in reality, it's, like, an abandoned...
Like a warehouse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, because I look back now, I'm like, damn, like, how many, like... Like, you really had to be in the shit to, like...
Go. Yeah.
So, like, I'm going to this big show in your head. It's like, this is, like, the WrestleMania hardcore show.
Yeah.
But it's, like, this abandoned warehouse. Meanwhile, now it's, like, kids are going, like, it's, like, a concert. And you're, like, put your ticket in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, no, it wasn't back then, obviously.
It's crazy to think how it's, like, you know...
It's evolved.
It's, like, it's fucking crazy. But then, again, it goes back with, like... You're in an empty warehouse with like 800 people. Something's gonna happen. Now it's like you know what I mean. The kids are not even stage diving as much. Like the violence is just like on a whole nother.
Yeah, it's really wild.
Does that upset you sometimes?
No. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I don't. Again, like, I'm not encouraging violence or anything like that. Like, I think people can take themselves a little too seriously, and can be kind of like buzzkills. But other than that, like, I don't really care. You know what I mean?
But, I mean, I'm bothered by, like, just hearing stories of, like, that shit happening. But now, like, because, like, even when Gold should play their last show at Sound Fury, Like before Gulch got big, the whole thing was like you would take out your belt and start smacking people. I don't you remember that? Like,
no, that's funny.
It was popular for a time when the intro came out. Like everybody would take out their belt and take off their shirt and start like just whipping each other.
See, that's like funny to me.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, like that's funny. It's not like you're trying to like. It's just like people just being dumb.
Yeah, yeah. So like that was like pre, you know, like COVID and everything. So then after COVID, the last show. I started doing that after last show. Like, I started swinging my belt, and people just got really upset. Like, just like, I'm just like, okay, I get it, but it's like, how does this band sound? Like, how do you not expect someone to just like, you know what I mean? But like, or
even like, Ian, to your point, like at Hoax shows, like, see them all the time. You know, I saw them a bunch, like when they first started and shit. And like, people would go nuts. People would do all kinds of crazy shit. They would be crazier than the band. You know, they would jump off of like. They play this one show in Santa Ana. The only reason I remember this is because my old band opened for them. And like there were like these big rafters at the top, and they played at the bottom. And like as soon as they started, people were jumping off the rafters and landing on people. I was like, dude, you can like get really hurt doing that. Like that's like actually super dangerous, you know?
And it's
but like if you did that now, people would like flip out.
What year was this?
Want to say 2013, 2012?
See, like, around 2013, like, I'm not going to name specific bands, not to, like, sound like I'm disrespecting them, but there was bigger hardcore bands where hardcore bands were starting to be a little bit more, I guess, packaged? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's, like, and, like, that's cool. Like, there could be that side of hardcore, and there could be the side of, like, there could be that, and there could be the kids jumping off of rafters.
Yeah.
But, like, now, it just seems like, just from what I see, it's, like, not even, like, there's no place to go, just go do that. You don't need to go just, like, let's throw a trash can. You know what I mean? Or like, let's, like, you know, like, and I'm just, well.
It seems pretty rare.
Yeah. But then again, I'm like, if there was like a show where like tomorrow, like, all right, this band's playing, go do that. And the bands are actually, you know, like, not just like being like jokingly funny and actually playing hard music. I'm just like, I don't think that kid exists just because the internet, if that makes sense. Like kids are just now changing. So like, kids that like, you know what I mean, like what I imagine in my head of seeing like hearing a show like Hoax, or when you were talking that day of like all these shows happening in like a random apartment, you know what I mean, like and crazy things happening, I'm like, these kids are probably like just random weird kids who are just happen to be in a room who like have nothing to do, you know what I mean, on a Saturday night, you know what I mean, like, and just
it doing definitely crazy was shit. It definitely feels like it was more for like weirdos and outcasts,
yeah,
whereas maybe now it's not necessarily for that, you know. And I mean, you could say it's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, there's definitely still people who are, like, weirdos in the outcast coming in. But, you know, they don't necessarily bring that behavior with them anymore, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
For better or for worse, you know.
Yeah. So, after high school, you graduated high school.
Graduated high school. I pretty much, like, I was in a band when I was, like, 18. It was, like, a really dumb band. We did, like, a couple. It was just, like. But we played with, like, some of the DIY punk bands and stuff.
What was the band called?
It was called Critical Picnic.
Critical Picnic.
Yes.
That one didn't come on your Discogs, did it? Or does it?
It might be on there, but it's...
Critical Picnic.
Yeah. It's very dumb.
What does that name mean?
Oh, it was just a stupid... It was like a joke band. You know what I mean? It was really a dumb band. It was all, like, a big joke. We did, like, one tour, and then we did, like, two records. We played with Chris's band, Harpoon Guns, like, all the time.
Sick.
So yeah, pretty much out of high school, I was kind of like touring and playing in bands, going to lots of shows, like, and that's how I just met a lot of people, you know what I mean? And I'm still pretty much know a lot of them. Like, I don't know if you know this guy or this band called NASA Space Universe, who's like around for like a long time.
NASA Space Universe?
Yeah. They were like pretty popping in like the early 2000s, 2010s. Like, I'm still in touch with all those dudes, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I've just known them forever, but like, I played the guitar player's backyard when I was, like, 18 in, like, 2005, 6, so...
Dude, every time you name a band, I'm just like, oh, like, it's, like, I mean, it's so many, like, random, like, names.
Exactly. Like, it really is just, like, a time and a place type of thing. Yeah, and, like, with my generation, that was the time and the place.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't expect you to know these, like, random bands.
No, it's just, like, but it's a very, like, it's, like, a cool moment because it sounds like... It sounds like you just wrote them on your, like, on your notebook. Because I have a notebook where, like, I just write band names. I'm just like, that one day I'll probably, like, think. It sounds like you're just reading a bunch of, like,
random. It's really random,
Like, what's that Sam Boston's first band?
Duke Nukem Forever?
Yeah, like, it's like shit like that where it's like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, it goes up with it.
It's just really funny.
It's like you just go one day to a show and it's like Critical Picnic and Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah.
Like, NASA Space Universe.
Yeah. Like, it was just, it was the time. You know what I mean? Everybody has their little moment and their little scene.
Were most of those bands like, yeah, they had comically like names, but was the subject matters also like?
The subject matter for us was not serious at all. It was very dumb and very silly.
Like, what was the, what would you guys talk about?
Just, I mean, if I can't really.
Okay, okay.
I don't know if I could say it now. It was pretty. We were trying to be really offensive, but not like over the line offensive. But it was just a different time. Like you could just say dumb shit.
Someone's gonna go find Critical Picnic.
I know. And someone's probably gonna get mad. Yeah. But I was like, dude, it was literally 20 years ago at this point, and I was 18. I don't know what to tell you.
Did people get offended? Or
not really? No one really cared. No, because I mean, we were playing with like. Do you know the band War Crime?
Yeah.
So we played with them like a bunch. We played with like Rabies like a bunch. Harpoon gun. So it was just kind of like, we're all like 18, 19 year old kids. Like some of us are even younger. We were just like having fun and being dumb. Like no one really took it that seriously. It's not like we're going to fucking win a Grammy or something. It was just a really silly, fun time. I mean, you couldn't do it now, but it is what it is, right? And so anyway, after that, I was in another band called Video Disease. And that was a more serious band. We kind of did a couple tours.
That's a good band name.
Yeah, played with like some of the No Way Records bands that were there at the time. And then, you know, things happen, you break up, move on. And then I was in, I kind of took a break from being in bands for like a long time.
Why did you take a break?
I just was burned out, you know, just from just being in a band can be difficult if you're dealing with other people. I was really young, I was like 20, 21. You know, it was just kind of hard to just deal with it all the time. I was trying to like work and make money. My mom and grandmother were both dealing with, like, health problems at the time. So I was like, I kind of need to focus on, like, my family shit right now.
Well, you still go to shows?
Yeah. I still go to shows when I could. It just kind of depended. I was still hanging out with Chris Kirk all the time and, like, other friends. So it's like I was still out. I never, like, dropped out or anything. I started a record label after the band called Video Z's Records. I put out, like, a bunch of records.
What was the biggest records you put out?
I put out records for like the Flex.
Oh, sick.
It's like their first 7-inch and their first LP. Those are the two that everyone remembers.
Okay, what are some of your personal favorites?
I did a record for Chris's band that was like a punk band called Francis Harold and the Holograms.
Oh, shit, no.
He might have mentioned it to you.
Yeah.
That was a really cool record to do. People were really psyched on it. That was a really fun one. I put out, and then I ended up putting out my own band's records later, the one I told you about called Stoic Violence.
Yeah.
I put out like our two LPs, and that was really cool because I'd never been on an LP before. I'd only done singles. We did like a big full 40-day, 6-week US tour. It was really fun. Then we did like another East Coast tour. We played like New York's All Right. So it was fun. You know, I pretty much had been involved.
Wait, New York's All Right is a band?
No, it was a fest. It was a fest. I'm sorry. It was a little before your time.
So this was a fest in New York.
Yes,
and it was called New Year's All Right.
Yeah.
That's hard.
And it was cool though, because like you know, I was still able to meet a lot of people, like make connections. I'm still friends with a lot of people from back then. You know, after Video Disease broke up, before Stoic Violence, I was like a roadie for a couple friends bands, just DIY, small DIY bands.
What bands did you roadie for?
One was called Time Bombs.
Time Bombs?
Yeah. Same thing. They were just like a local Southern California band, but they did like a bunch of tours, and I would go out with them. So it was fun, you know.
It was just an excuse to go on tour.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. They were like, "Hey, you should come with us." I'm like, "Yeah, sure." Like,
did it actually work, or is it like?
No, not really. I mean, I would help load in and load out and sell merch and stuff, but it's like, it was a small DIY tour. It's not like we're playing big places and we have to be there at like 2:00 in the afternoon and we're selling hundreds of shirts, you know.
Yeah.
We're selling like 10, 15 shirts a night, couple records.
Even though
like,
that's a lot.
No
diss to the homies, but I've been on tours where like, damn, like 2 shirts.
I've been on tours like that with my own bands where it's like, man, we're playing to no one and we're selling nothing. Like, we're sleeping in the van tonight. Like,
yeah.
It is what it is, you know. It's just part of like growing up.
I also wanted to ask you, before we move on. So when you're like 17, 18, 19,
yeah.
And you're like, you know, you're meeting Chris Kirk, you're meeting all these young kids who are into the same music.
Yeah.
How does it work having a scene where it's all just young kids? Where like, no, like, it's like, there is no, like, I guess for lack of a better word, no adult supervision or like no one being like, okay, everybody just being kids.
Yeah, that's a good question. And I really started, and not just myself, but a lot of people, we started booking shows of our own. You'd find like a place that does DIY gigs and be like, hey, I want to do a gig here. There's a place in Santa Ana called The Clinic that did like a lot of gigs. It was just literally just like people who lived in the warehouse. I think it was like a front. They like sold meth out of it or something. I don't really know. I'm sure if you were around back then, you knew about it. And like, we just did gigs there, you know? We just call them up and be like, hey, I want to see if this date's on the calendar. Can we book a show? And like, we did it, you know? So we did like a bunch of shows there. We did like shows for a bunch of the bands that were coming through, like Chronic Seizure, Wasted Time. I think, I'm pretty sure Government Warning played there. It was kind of like the spot for a minute. And that's kind of how I got started, like, booking shows. So, like, years later, I would end up booking lots of shows at E7th, which is now Desk Control.
Okay.
And that was run...
It's the same exact venue.
Or is it? Pretty much, yeah, yeah. So there were, it was two units next to each other, and E7th had both units at one point, but then they just switched over to one. It was kind of like a couple-year switchover they did. So I booked like a ton of shows there with Austin from Blazing Eye, who was living there at the time. It was kind of like the spot for like a really long time. And I've been booking shows on and off since I was probably like 18, 19.
And East 7th Street and Munoz's gym was around the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Munoz was start. So I didn't have anything to do with starting Munoz.
Yeah.
That was started in like late 90s, early 2000s by this dude, Ronald, who does Going Underground's Bakersfield.
OG.
Which is going the OG Going Underground. Exactly. Yeah. OG Going Underground. It was legitimately his grandpa's boxing gym. Like, it was an active boxing gym. They would train kids from the neighborhood. People would go there to box, blah, blah, blah.
This is late 90s when he started throwing shows?
I believe so. It was. They definitely had shows in the early 2000s. I want to say he started in the late 90s. Adam would know better than I would, but that was my understanding.
And East 7th Street started when?
Probably, like, 2012 to, like...
Okay.
So much later.
Yeah, yeah, okay, okay.
But Munoz was around a really long time.
But, like, Adam era Munoz gym, when he, like, him booking shows was what year?
So, I started first going to Munoz gym with Harpoon Guns probably, like, 2006, 2007.
Okay.
So, I was probably, like, 18 or 19. And I met Adam. He's a few years younger than me. He was probably, like, 15 or 16 when I met him.
Okay.
So, we've also known each other for, like, 20 years almost.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is pretty funny. And so, yeah, we met Adam and Henry, who also works at the store. Sweet. And a bunch of other people who still are around and I still talk to this day. And so... We'd go to gigs at Munoz, and we'd go to gigs in Bakersfield. Critical Picnic recorded our second record with Ronald from Going Underground.
Okay, sick.
So we had like a really strong connection with those dudes in Bakersfield. It was really fun every time we went up there. They had some really cool bands and stuff. Like Adam's band came a few years later, but they were called On Parade.
Yeah.
It was like a cool straight edge band. There was a band called Loser Life, which was really cool at the time. Like Ronald was in a great band called Contaminators.
Contaminators.
Yeah, so it was just like, again, time and a place,
yeah.
You know? But like, there were great shows at Munoz. Like, Iron Lung would play there, Extortion played there, Ice Age, Milk Music, you know, a lot of bands from like 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a really fun time and like really cool to see shows there.
Okay. This is a kind of two parted question. From your time being active in hardcore, like from when you were like 17, 18,
sure,
whatever, teenage years to like your late 20s, did you see, like, was like the amount of violence always the same, or did you see it slowly water down over the years?
I would say it probably slowly watered down over the years, but I mean, you still see crazy stuff at shows. Like
what was something you'll see like when you were 17 compared to like when you were like in your late 20s?
It was definitely more mellow in my late 20s. Like, for example, like with Critical Picnic, with our last show, we played this kid's garage in San Clemente, and we wanted to just like do a bunch of crazy shit. So we brought, and we were really into wrestling. So we bought a bunch of fluorescent light tubes, and we were breaking light tubes. I poured thumbtacks everywhere. And it was like people, I was rolling around in thumbtacks, people were falling into them. We had barbed wire, people were like, you know, our bass player wrapped himself in barbed wire. It was hitting people in the crowd. So it was just like...
Is there any pictures of this somewhere?
There's a video of it on YouTube, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but we were like, again, we were all like really between the ages of 16 and 18. So it was just like... But it, and no one really took it that seriously. It was
How
just,
many people were in that show?
I mean, there's probably like 40 or 50 people.
So there's just
like,
40 people falling
on... Packed in a garage.
Packed in a garage falling on thumbtack.
Yeah.
Did you get hurt?
Yes. I mean, everyone had like thumbtacks all over their shoes. Like, I definitely had cuts all over...
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But, like, whatever, you know? We were, like, really young and dumb, and it didn't really matter. Like,
what?
You feel invincible when you're, like, that age.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah. So
I wouldn't do it now when I'm 36. I'm almost 40, for God's sakes. I can't be doing shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what are some other cool shit you saw back in the day?
I mean, in terms of, like, bands?
Bands, violence, anything.
Yeah, I mean, the Gordon Solie motherfucker show at Chaos and Taos was insane. There's only, like, one video of it, like, and it's only, like, one song, but, I mean, I was not prepared. I knew that their shows were legendary, but I wasn't prepared for how crazy it was.
How old were you at that time?
I was 19.
So you were 19.
Yeah.
You've heard of this band called Gordon Solie Motherfucker.
Well, I mean, I was a fan.
Okay, yeah. You were.
I mean, we drove to Texas to see them.
Like, okay, so this was Chaos and Taos.
Chaos and Taos, 2007.
2007. And they headline? Or?
Yes, they headline. It was three nights. They were the big headliner on night three.
Okay, who runs Chaos and Taos? Because before we get into that, like, the lineups are always like, I remember one year was like Cox Bar and Inquisition.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
Is this dude?
It's like,
it's this dude named Timmy. Who now...
It's always the Timmy guys. Timmy yeah. guys have a rep for being crazy, but go ahead.
He's a really nice guy. He's an old friend. He's like a booking agent now at like one of the bigger agencies, but he did a label for a really long time called 540 Records.
540 Records?
Mm-hmm. And he put out a bunch of stuff. He put out like... God, what were some of the early Texas bands? He did like Vosca Records. I think he did an Impaler's record. Anyway, you look him on Discogs. Super great guy. And, yeah, so he did Chaos and Taos. It started off as Prank Fest, I'm pretty positive, like Prank Records. Then it morphed into Chaos and Taos. And I think we went to Volume 3, so it was 2007. And so Gordon Solie Motherfuckers play. We had a great time. We drove straight to Texas. Like, it was just me and a couple buddies. We were, like, 19, 20, like, just being dumb. And as soon as they start, Tony Irba whips out, like, an 8-foot-long chain and starts whipping the crowd with it, like... I was right next to it. I almost got hit with this huge metal chain. Trash cans start flying. Bottles start flying, like glass bottles. Tony grabs a bottle, breaks it, stabs himself in the face. Like, first song. And it's just insanity. Like, by the end of the show, there's like a gigantic pile of glass in the middle of the venue. Tony Irba is like, someone grab a ladder. You see a big ladder start to come through the crowd. Security has to grab the ladder. Then it's like a big fight trying to get the ladder from someone. Tony Irba went in the back and grabbed a TV, just threw it in the audience. No, like, concrete blocks were flying. Just insanity.
Is that even, like, and like these dudes are playing.
Yeah, they're playing.
Like, they're playing. They're not just like that.
They're like playing their songs.
They're playing while this guy's actually throwing a TV.
Yeah.
Did someone actually get hurt?
I don't think so. By the end of the show, everyone was covered in blood, saw lots of scratches, lots of bruises, but no one was like seriously injured. Like, I didn't see any broken bones or anything like that.
And I'm not sure. Because Gordon Solie is a wrestling guy, right?
He was a wrestling announcer back in the 70s and 80s.
He's like that asshole, right? Like, now he's kind of a dick now.
Or is he's a great. He's dead, but he was always a nice guy.
Not going. So I'm thinking of someone else.
Was a parody of Cheetah Chrome Motherfuckers.
Cheetah Chrome. What is that?
Old Italian hardcore band from the early 80s.
Okay, Cheetah. And what is Cheetah Chrome? What is that?
No one really knows why they picked the name. Okay. But Cheetah Chrome is the guitar player for the Dead Boys. I don't know if that's why they picked it.
Okay, so Cheetah Chrome Motherfuckers.
They were like, we're gonna just have like a name and it's gonna be funny. As far as I know, it's Gordon Solie Motherfuckers.
Okay, where's that guy now?
Tony Irba?
The vocals of Gordon Solie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he still plays in bands and stuff. I mean, he's been a fixture in like the Cleveland punk and hardcore scene for, God, 30 something years at this point.
I didn't track him down. I was like, yeah.
Oh, he's around. Yeah, he's like on Facebook and shit. Like, when Nine Shocks Terror played, I booked Nine Shocks Terror in like 2019 and he's a bass player.
Okay.
Yeah, really nice guy.
I just want to know what goes through someone's head. Just like, I'm going to do that.
I think he just loves like pro wrestling and is just like a crazy dude. Like,
it's like, I'm going to just do pro wrestling at the show.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, Bad Luck 13 was like...
That was, yeah.
Pretty, right? And that was like... That was... But it's like, what do you...
That was more serious, I felt.
Yeah.
They took it more seriously. Whereas Gordon Solie Motherfuckers was just like silly.
Because there's a video, I'm not sure what year, but I saw a video where he has like a cape on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is...
It's very silly. Like,
No, but it's like real. You know what I mean? It's like, because there's a difference between being like nerdy, which I love, but then I'm like, oh, this guy's kind of nerdy, but actually like...
He's also insane.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. Like, it's like, that's like a very rare, but unique and awesome combo to have as a person.
In Cleveland, like I said, Cleveland always had that reputation. Like, anytime Nine Shocks would play or Inmates or anything, it's like fireworks. People are throwing bricks. like people would uproot trees from outside and bring them in and throw them. Like, it was just chaos. I mean, I wasn't there for any of it, but like you'd hear, when you're growing up, you'd hear these legendary stories of like Cleveland hardcore. You know what I mean?
One of the shows you attended, like I'm pretty sure at some point someone had gotten hurt.
I would think so. I mean, I didn't see anyone seriously injured. A lot of people were covered in blood, lots of cuts, lots of bruises, but I didn't see anyone who was like seriously injured, which I hope no one was seriously injured.
So out of all those things, out of years of seeing like just shit like that happen, it's like no one, you never saw someone like,
crazy. Sometimes people will like break an ankle or break an arm, which obviously that sucks, but like I've never seen anyone get seriously hurt to the point where like they need an ambulance or something.
It sounds like, from what you're saying, it sounds like no one ever actually complained.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, no one complained. Like, it was just a show. You know what I mean? You didn't really think anything of it. Like, people are gonna mosh, people are gonna stage dive, people are gonna fucking hang off the rafters, like at Muno's gym, like when you were going underground, like it was like Glue, Blazing Eye, and like I forget who else. Adam would probably remember better, but like the singer from Glue, Harris, like he started climbing into the rafters of Muno's, and like I thought the roof was just gonna collapse on us, and I was like, I guess this is it. Like, but like you don't, you're not like after the show, like, hey, bro, that wasn't cool that you did that. Like no one cared, you know what I mean?
Sorry, we might have died, but that's cool.
Yeah, like. It's really weird, like, but now if you, like...
Aside from, like, Munoz Gym being old at the time, like, was there cracking or noises that you're like, oh, this...
Oh, it was just, like, an old, shitty building, like...
So him just, like, going through the rafters, just, like...
It could have just fallen at any point. Like, it's a miracle it did it. I mean, I've seen people, like, one time I was standing next to, like, the wall, and this kid, you know, they're moshing and shit, and he just runs into the wall and puts this huge hole in it. I had to move out of the way, otherwise I would have just gone through the wall. Like, but you know, I wasn't like, hey, bro, I was standing there. It was just like, that was just part of the show.
Yeah.
That was just par for the course.
But it also sounds like Chaos and Tejas, whatever, had the craziest show.
I mean,
the craziest like, lineups. Like,
it's yeah,
like,
it was. Yeah, it was. They were crazy lineups. I went to like a lot of them. It was really fun. But you know, I also went to like No Way Fest, which was like the No Way Records Fest, which was really fun too. It was a really cool, like kind of time capsule of that scene at that time. It was like Career Suicide, Direct Control, Government Warning, like Annihilation Time, Inmates. You know, Fucked Up. I think maybe it might have played. I'm sure we could look it up, but. It was fun, you know? It was, like, a really fun time. People would do crazy shit. There'd be fireworks.
You gotta tell me more. What's some other crazy shit you saw?
I mean, again, it was at this weird venue called Alley Cats. So you'd be on the floor, and then there was rafters where you could stand, and people would sell records and shit. Okay. And people would jump off the rafters on other people. But, like, again, it was just part of the show. Like,
we could cut this out, but can you tell a story of the guy spilling blood?
Okay, no, we get this in.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's just give him another name.
So there was, I mean...
Okay, whatever, all on you. You tell a story.
There was this dude named Robbie Cleary, and I don't really know his whole background or his story, but he was like, he was on, this is like MySpace Facebook era, and he's like, his MySpace name was Robbie Cleary Has AIDS. And I was like, who is this guy? And he's like, hey, I'm like an old punk rocker, and like, I did a lot of time in jail, and I got HIV and AIDS from, like, it was, like, shooting up or whatever, or tattoos, something related with him in jail, right?
Yeah.
And I'm, like, I mean, he just kind of added all of us on MySpace, like, me, Chris Kirk, and, like, all these other people that we know. And he kind of just started going to gigs, and, like, we're, like, okay, whatever, he's, like, an old punk dude, like, he has AIDS, but, like, I mean, I don't think anyone should be excluded because of that. But here's where it gets really weird. Is there was this house in Long Beach called Linden House. And it was literally like a tiny apartment. It's like half the size of my apartment that you're in now. So maybe like 300, 400 square feet. And the bands would play in there and you'd be in there. One night it was like Harpoon Guns, Loser Life, and maybe one other band. And during Harpoon Guns, this dude Robbie Cleary's in there. You can't move in this apartment. It's so tiny. Like, you can't mosh. You can't do anything. I don't know how, but he just started bleeding. Like, profusely bleeding. And he's telling everyone he has AIDS.
So he's bleeding.
No. This is just something we knew.
Okay.
And I was like, yo, that dude is bleeding, and he claims to have AIDS. Like, he needs to not be in here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's dangerous. It's like a biohazard. I mean, blood in general is nasty and a biohazard because you never know what someone has, but this dude is claiming to genuinely have AIDS, so he should for sure not be doing that. And he's bleeding in this tiny room while these bands are playing, and we were just like, what the fuck? This is insane. Like,
how many people in the room knew already?
Me? I mean, pretty much all of our just immediate friends knew.
So, like, half of the
room? I don't think, like, half the room knew, basically.
So, what happens after?
He was just in there. No one, like, got him out. And then he eventually just left and cleaned himself up.
No one ran out the room.
No.
No one ran out the room.
You couldn't move. Like, so, you literally couldn't move out of the room, even if you wanted to, because it was so packed.
So, people were just...
People in the hallways. Like, you couldn't get out. Like, once you were in that room, you were stuck in that room.
Until the show ended already.
No, it just kept going, and then he eventually left. I don't even know how he got out, or he was just bleeding the whole time, and then the show just ended, but no one got sick or anything.
So what was going through your head? So you're like in the
room. I was like, I'm going to stay as far away from possible as this person, because I don't want to get...
So you were not near him at the time, like in that moment.
The room is so tiny, he was like a couple feet away from me, but I was like up against the wall, being like, oh my God, I can't touch this dude, he's bleeding. Like,
and the band's still playing.
Yeah, they just... just kept going.
So you're just like this, looking at the band, and just like this guy's bleeding, just like...
Like, we talked about it after, but like nothing really happened. It was just like, that was just the show.
And where's this guy now?
I have no idea. I haven't heard from him in years and years. Like, he could be alive, he could be dead. I mean, I haven't. It's funny because I didn't even remember about this until Adam mentioned the story. I was like, I should probably look that guy up, but I just totally forgot.
Damn, we're gonna do a part. We're gonna look him up and then just put, like... That's gonna be the post, just yeah, like this guy's Facebook. All right, but what are some other crazy shit you saw? Mm. I think you have mentioned a story when we at Going Underground that a bunch of people brought TV and started breaking them.
I think that was just the Gordon Solie show. Oh, yeah. Threw the TV, but I mean, you know, there's always been stuff like Chris's old band Harpoon Guns would play, and they would like... I don't remember why, but for one show, we brought a bunch of bags of flour, and we're throwing flour everywhere. Like, I've seen Jimmy from Annihilation Times band Eel. He used to have a grinder, like a metal grinder, that he would use while they played. And one time, it shot off and just went shoom, like right up his forehead, and just completely sliced his forehead open.
What the fuck? Really?
Yeah. And he was like, okay, no more grinder. Like, he could have died.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Wait, so what did he do to the grinder? Just like...
He would like... they'd be playing, and he would be grinding, and he put the mic to it so you could hear it.
Okay. And how the fuck that shit shot up?
I don't even know. I don't know what he did, but it just shot off, and he was just... I think Chris has a picture of it somewhere.
Oh, my God.
Where he's just bleeding like crazy. And I was like, fuck. Like,
no one...
You could have lost an eye. Like, he could have gotten killed.
He could have died.
Yeah, he could have died, yeah. So he was like, okay, it's too dangerous now. No more grinder.
Just shut up. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
But that's the thing. It's like...
It's like, who the fuck brings a grinder? Like,
yeah.
I don't play with a grinder at home, let alone...
Yeah, and no one stopped him. We were just like, all right, okay, I guess this is just part of the gig. Like... Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What is... You gotta tell me one more.
Let me try and think. You can always edit this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you could just give him a fake name.
No, I'm just trying to think of, like, some stuff. I'm trying to... What's another good story? Okay, here's a really good one, actually. So, Stoic Violence was on tour in Mexico. And it was at the end of the tour... And Tragedy was on tour at the same time as us. They did, like, South America, Mexico. Obviously, they're a much bigger band. We were just, like, some kids out there, you know? And at the end of the tour, Tragedy played a show in Mexico City. And it was, like, our last day there. We're like, cool, let's go to the show. The same people who booked their tour booked our tour. So they're like, yeah, come through. Like, we'll hang out, blah, blah, blah. So we go to the show. And it was great, you know? Like... It, like, cool local bands played and shit. It was probably like 2014. And then Tragedy plays, and I guess the show had sold out and people were pissed. Like, people in Mexico City, right? And people started, like, rioting. Like, straight up. Like, outside the venue. They were throwing fucking glass bottles. They were throwing rocks. Like, it just sounded like a gun was being fired almost. Like, it was just hitting the glass.
And was this a venue?
So it was a venue. It was a proper venue. It was like a proper club. And you could just hear it hitting, like, and it was so loud. It was so hard. And people were so pissed that the show was sold out. And they literally just started a full-blown riot. They had to bring, like, security was, like, fighting against people. They had to roll down the steel shutters at the front of the venue. But you would still hear, like, people fighting outside. And we were just trapped inside. You can't go anywhere. There's, like, a full-blown riot happening outside. So it was definitely scary, you know? Yeah. Like, the show completely stopped. They're like, there's a riot going on outside. We need to just, like, hunker down in case some shit goes down. But then Tragedy ended up playing, and then a riot happened again. People started rioting again because they missed Tragedy. And then the show was just cut off. Tons of cops came and just, like, beat the shit out of people. And then, like, we're like, okay, it's time to go. Like, we don't want to get caught up in this, you know? We're like a bunch of white boys from, like, Southern California. Like, we have no business fucking being involved in this, you know?
That's fucking... That is... Jesus, like, that's crazy.
It was scary, and for sure.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong, Tragedy's a big band, but it's like, damn, like, they're not really that big. Like, they're big, but they're not that big. You know, like, for a whole ass riot.
For, like, a full-blown riot, I'm like, this is, like, way too crazy for me.
It's like, so you're, like, in another country.
Yeah, exactly. We're in another country. This is, like, before you could really take your phone to another... There's, like, we had no phone service, like...
You couldn't take your phone to another country?
No, so we had our phones, but, like, there was, like, no Wi-Fi. I didn't have, like, an international plan or anything. So it's, like, you can't get a hold of anyone.
You know, like, I could die here and, like...
Yeah, pretty much, like... I don't know, I tell, like, my mom that I'm fucking died in Mexico, you know?
I just died in Mexico, the tragedy riot.
And like I said, we're a bunch of white boys. Like, what the fuck? Like, you know?
Damn. So... All this crazy shit is happening. Chaos and Chaos. When is Chaos and Chaos at?
Chaos and Chaos, I think the last one was 2013?
The last one was 2013.
I think so.
See, like, I was in sixth grade.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I love that scene again. Like the last like the last festival that was like sounds sick to me is like I was in sixth grade.
Yeah.
But like, okay. So at one point, or like, is there like a moment or something like very hyper, very specific that you remember being like, that just sticks with you, that was like, this is the moment when, like, shows were like, oh, this is not that crazy anymore.
You know?
Or, like, maybe a band play that you're like, oh, this is going to be crazy, and it wasn't, or something.
There's probably, like, a couple times, like, I don't know if it's necessarily, like, a hyper-specific moment, but I think the culture just overall kind of changed, you know? People, and not to say that it's good or it's bad or whatever, you know, people kind of started being a little bit more politically correct with things. Mm-hmm. People stopped being a little less crazy at shows, like... Or my generation had kind of grown out of a lot of that stuff. Like, I mean, dude, I'm like, by the time I hit like 30, it's like I can't be doing crazy shit at shows anymore. Like,
how old are you in 2014? Because I know the video Stoic Violence playing.
Fuck, whatever. I'm 36 now, so I guess that was like.
Oh, so I was like years ago.
9 years ago, yeah.
So you're like, you're like 27.
27, 28, yeah.
Yeah, so even, okay, damn, 2014 was, you were 27, 28. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, because even then you were like, you were playing, but that's like, I guess, quote unquote, towards the end of your hardcore career.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I was in a couple bands after that and stuff, but yeah, that was like the last band that really toured and played a lot and shit like that.
But yeah, what was like some, like, moments that you're like, oh, this band played in, like, or like something that you could just kind of pinpoint to like, from like a year or something that you're like, oh, things changing now.
That's a good question. Probably like, I want to say like 2017, 2018. Like, I feel like things kind of shifted a little bit, you know? People started having like the image of being hard without actually being hard, you know what I mean? It was kind of like a weird thing. I feel like, and of course, like, you take a look at like social media and how things rose, like, people are kind of creating this persona on Instagram or on Twitter or whatever, like, oh, I'm this badass person, and like,
yeah, image started playing a role.
Image started playing a role, for sure, yeah. And it's like, that wasn't really like a thing, I guess, when I was like kind of growing up. Like, I grew up during MySpace and like Facebook, and then it morphed into now people are trying to be like influencers within hardcore and punk or any other genre of music for that matter.
Social media killed hardcore violence fun.
I mean, I wouldn't even say that, but yeah,
let's just say that was gonna be the title.
I definitely remember. Okay, do you know the band Joyce Manor?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember seeing a video of them stopping mid-song because someone did a stage dive, and the singer was like, yo, fuck that, we don't do stage dives. Like, we don't do stage diving, someone could get hurt, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, I've never seen that at a show.
Like, it's a fucking stage dive, relax.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of my mentality. I mean,
wasn't that band comes from stage dive? Like, from the stage dive craft?
That's what I thought. I don't really know them super well. I I knew them when they got big.
Or they pulled a Fugazi. You know, like, Fugazi is known for that?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like, I kind of feel like the sort of safe space political correctness thing has maybe come back around. You know, hardcore shows are a lot more inclusive now, which I think is good. I think it's cool that people can go and it's like, you don't really have to worry about being like, but I mean, punk's always been like that. Punk's always been like an inclusive space that people can go to. Like, I mean, I've known trans people or gay people or like people of color forever, like immigrants. Like, it's always been like a space that those people can kind of thrive in.
Yeah. I mean, like, even like there's people who are like certain people, there's people who's they're really like outspoken on like, yeah, like, you know, like, whatever it may be, I'm not even gonna name a specific issue, but I'm like, yeah, sure. I can sit through your bullshit. Like, you're just saying that because you want to be like, you want to be like accepted, and you want to be like, no, like, I'm good, guys. Like, I'm a good guy. But then there's people who I see where I'm like, I've never seen that person speak yet about an issue on social media, but I know that person's down.
You know what I mean? Exactly. That's kind of how it was. Like, I never saw anyone like shunned from a show because they were trans or because they were gay or because they're black or they're brown or whatever. I've literally never seen that in my life at a hardcore show.
I'm pretty sure if you have a kid, like, if you have kids throwing TVs, yeah, I'm pretty sure if someone who's like, who comes in with like some wrong mentality, I'm pretty sure they're gonna throw a TV at them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like, I mean, who am I to say? I mean, I wasn't around a lot of the time, but like, social media just like a lot of people, like, I mean, because like you said, it goes both ways where it's like, someone could be on social media being like, Mr. like, spread the word. But I'm like, I know you ain't really doing anything besides doing repost.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's other people who are just like, never say anything, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're, you know what I mean? They're
when I was coming up in shows, it was just kind of like it was just like, what am I trying to say? It was just, that's just how it was. Like, no one was ever shunned. Everyone was pretty much accepted. Unless you're being a total asshole, then it didn't matter what
you're... It's just a fucking show.
It's just a show, yeah. It's like, no one was like, no, you can't come in. Like, we don't accept your kind here. Like, punk and hardcore, that's pretty rare. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen that. I've been to a million gigs.
Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of an unspoken thing. Like, everyone's welcome. We're inclusive. Like, it's all good. You shouldn't have to be worried when you're here, which I think is great. But yeah, it is kind of weird that people are trying to get on like that soapbox when it's like, it's always been like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Or, but even on the musical standpoint, like Chris Kirk talks about like him being bored and just like, I'm gonna press like random 7 inches of bands that I just made up a band.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and like,
of course, yeah.
Or just like, all the band names you're telling me, like, that just sounds like someone wrote out their notebook and just like, but these, like, every single band probably like went on tour, went on, you know.
Yeah, but it's like, we all put out records, we all went on tour. It's just like, it was just like our moment in time to do that.
That even goes with like if you're not on social media, you probably just have time to like, fuck yeah, I got a guitar, like, I got a drum, let's just make a band called whatever we're gonna call it, I don't know, like,
yeah, exactly.
Like the Bullshitters or something, you know what I mean? Like, just put out a 7-inch. But now it's like, I mean, I guess even productivity is an issue with social media, because it's like, maybe if you were born in this day and age, you would just be on social media and not put off the random seven inches you did when you were a kid.
Or you'd have to feel like you have to compete, and it's like, my band needs to be big. I need to get on a big label.
What does this tour mean? You know what I mean? Like, what is this going to do? Is this the right move? I'm like, just go on tour, play some fucking shows.
It's just supposed to be fun.
Do it for yourself.
Do it for yourself, exactly. Yeah. And that's how we were doing it. It's like, we just did it because it was fun. Like, we had no grand ambitions. We're like, you know, this band will probably last a couple years, and then that's going to be it. Like,
yeah,
you know, we're just going to have fun. Like, I'm not going to try to make a career out of, like, this small band.
There's nothing wrong with mechanic.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but it we are in this weird state of, like, the internet taking over everything, where it's like, you see this band be big, and it's like, I want to be that big. And it's kind of like...
Maybe when you were younger, saying, like, oh, there's nothing wrong with being big was a problem.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is... Now, where it comes the other way, it's like, there's nothing wrong with not being big.
Yeah,
now
exactly.
Now we gotta say that. You know what I mean? It's like, there's nothing wrong with your band just
being a band.
Yeah, not having social media.
And you just having fun.
Just go play. You know what I mean? Like, I hope that comes back. Like, just random band names, like, type bands where it's like...
Yeah, yeah, and so I'm sure it will. That's the thing about punk and hardcore. It's cyclical. Everything's in a cycle. Like, whatever's happening now, it'll probably be completely different in 10 years.
Yeah, maybe.
Whatever's happening in 10 years will probably be completely different 10 years after that.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I want to believe, because, like, I look now, I'm like, every band that tours, it's always like, and there's nothing wrong with the homies that tour, but, like, it's just, like, I wish there would be more, like, I mean, that's why I love my friends in InTime, because, like, we're just going to go on tour and just have fun. And that's really rare now, you know what I mean? Like, maybe 10 years from now, there's going to be a band called Brandon Hutchins and the Violence. You know what I mean? Like, just, like, a random 7-inch, you know what I mean? Just, like, just random, like, there needs to be more of that, because, like, And don't get me wrong, hardcore is in a good place, but
for sure,
there's nothing wrong with like, you know, like maybe just
having fun. Just having fun.
Stop having social media. Stop putting your little fucking Dropbox voice memo demo on Instagram before having a record out.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, before playing a show or some shit. Like that's a thing now. Bands are like,
oh for sure.
Bands are like Instagram. No music for five months, and then like a video of them playing the song. It's like, come on.
It's really weird. Yeah, I don't really get
it's
that.
It's like, come on, like fuck.
Like, yeah, it's like, hey, like, I mean, I don't even necessarily, like, if you're just in a band, it's like, just be like, hey, I'm in a new band, we just dropped a demo, check it out.
Yeah, like, it's like, we're playing a gig, you know what I mean?
We're playing a gig, come check us out. Like, yeah, it's like, it doesn't really have to be that complicated. Like,
it's like, now it's like, yo, like, new band coming soon on Instagram, like, Google's a follow.
Yeah.
Like, fuck. Like,
that's a weird one, for sure.
And, like, there's still bands that still haven't put a song out, but they have Instagram out, you know what I mean?
See, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, it's like,
I guess, it's just a different, and that's kind of the broader thing about social media. It's like, it is, you have to just do with music. I mean, you can just be some normal person on social media, and like, you can be bummed out because you see someone living this extravagant lifestyle, but it could be total bullshit. Like,
yeah,
you could see someone be like, I'm on tour all the time, we play these huge fucking places, but it could be total bullshit. Like,
yeah,
they could just be opening and playing to 100 people for all you know. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to necessarily strive for being the best or being the greatest or something. It's like, just do something because you have that creativity in you and you want to express yourself.
Yeah, yeah, like, let's get more dumb band names. Like, more violence, more dumb band names. Bring wrestling back in hardcore.
Just have some fun.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with having fun.
What's a little bit of blood between the monks you love?
Exactly.
So, anything else? Oh, so, now you graduated.
I mean, I still go to shows and stuff.
What's some hardcore bands you like now?
I like Scourge. I like Distort. I think those bands are really cool. It's not necessarily like reinventing the wheel, but I like it. You know what I mean? My friend is in a cool band that actually just heard their full length the other day called Burden. They're from like Boston. It's just like a couple like, it's kind of like boy influenced stuff. They're cool. I like them a lot. You know, but I keep up with like, these days I kind of have kept up with like more metal stuff and more noise and industrial stuff. I feel like that's kind of where my tastes have kind of gone to. I mean, you for sure know way more about like newer hardcore bands than me, but I still try and go to shows. I still try and check stuff out.
What was the last band you moshed to?
Dude, okay. Nine Shocks Terror in 2019, I stage dove and broke my finger. I was like, I'm too old for this. I can't do this shit anymore. I was like, yeah, I think I'm done.
That's it. That was your retirement moment.
Yeah, I was like, my finger's fucked up for like months. I was like, I think I'm just good. Like, I just don't think. It's a young man's game. Let the young people do it.
Yeah. What's,
I love, like, Soul Search, who, those are old friends. Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, they're back now, but you know what I mean?
Yeah,
3D
yeah.
Deep is really cool.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some great bands going. You know, there's always going to be cool bands of hardcore. It's never going to be, you know, like, completely dead or completely crappy, which
hardcore
is...
Hardcore will never die.
No, I don't remember. Punk, hardcore, all that shit's going to just keep going. It's going to keep going and going and going.
Yeah, like we said, there's going to be that crazy kid like a couple years from now.
Exactly.
Like,
there's always going to be kids in some part of the world who are like, I want to make some fucking crazy ass record, and they're just going to do it.
Yeah, bring the ladders back, though. bring the ladders, bring the thumbtacks.
Yeah, all the thumbtacks. Hey, you never know. It wouldn't shock me if some kids are doing it in a basement in like the Midwest right now. You know?
Yeah. That's the thing, it's like, it's not that violent, but like, I've gone on tour with the homies, I'm like, there is like random places like in the middle of ass fuck nowhere.
Exactly.
That's it's still kind of like, it's kind of weird. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like these kids are like we went, I'm trying to think, like they spent a week in Seattle.
Yeah.
And then there was like, obviously there's like, you know, like Seattle, Washington, but then there's like the random, like,
there's so many random suburbs.
And like a lot of these kids like don't know, you know what I mean, like don't know anything, you know what I mean, like actual kids just like pulling up with like, I don't know, like a USA shirt that says fuck USA, you know what I mean?
It's
just
exactly,
I don't think this kid knows like the top 10 hardcore events, but like he's here to like, I remember there's this kid, I forget his name, but like he was so like, I think like, what's the word on when no social, like, no, like, he has no conscience of, like, social...
Oh, like, on the spectrum kind
of thing? Yeah. Just, like, he's just grabbing the mic as their bands are playing. He's just like, ooh. And, like, it's like, I don't think he knows, like...
He's just crazy. Yeah,
he's just, like, singing on the mic.
That's
like,
the thing, and that's, like, what, you know, punk and hardcore really was back in, like, when it started. It was just, like, the crazy fucked up people
Like actual weird. Not like we don't look weird. We are weird.
Yeah, like we're total freaks and we're making this music because we have no other way of expressing ourselves.
Yeah.
That's how it was, you know?
Yeah. But what's next for you?
I do kind of like an industrial project now and I play once in a while.
You have a steel cassette, right?
I do. I have a cassette.
That shit looks crazy. It looks like you smacked someone with it.
Yeah. it's like a clamshell case. I'll give you one.
Thank you.
But it's like it's kind of like industrial electronic stuff. It came out on Hospital Productions a couple of months ago.
Is it like hard to listen industrial or like dancey industrial?
Kind of hard to listen to. Okay, yeah. And then, you know, it's funny. A couple of the dudes from, do you know the band Hot Load, local band? So Marv, who plays guitar in that, it's like, he hit me up to start singing for this project he has. It's kind of like metallic sounding. It sounds like Sacrilege or like the Verruckers. And so we've kind of been practicing and just...
Him and Bravo?
Yeah, him and Bravo.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I've been singing for that. We've had a couple of practices. And it's kind of one of those things where like, I'm old, like what you said, like we're not gonna, I'm not going to be like, yo, what's up? New band coming soon. And make like Instagram page. Like, we're just taking our time, writing some songs. We're just practicing. And when it's ready, it's ready. Yeah. You know?
And then you people will be out.
Yeah. Something will be out. Play a couple gigs. Have some fun.
Bring the ladders back.
I don't know. I may be too old for that. But if the young kids are wanting to go crazy, that's their deal. But yeah, it's just like, it's just something we're just doing for fun. We're just having a good time doing it.
Sick. So yeah. A new band and then.
Yeah, we don't have a name yet. You know, we're just trying to like baby steps.
Sick. It's still a fetus.
Yeah, exactly. It'll get there eventually. I'm not worried about it. You know, like
it'll give birth.
Yeah, we all have full time jobs and shit. You know,
Marvin's like 20 bands.
Yeah, he's in a bunch of bands. I have a full time job. I'm almost 40. Like I can't be fucking in like 15 bands or whatever. Like I'm cool with doing it. Practice a couple times a week, shit like that. So eventually we will have something.
All right, and then I guess the last question is: I found like a flyer of you and Black Chris, like, side to side, and it's like, one tip for two being too punk?
Yeah.
Are you too punk?
No, that was a silly flyer that Chris Kirk made for our DJ night.
Sick.
We would just try and make the funniest, like, flyers that we could. Like, here's a dumb flyer, you know what I mean?
Sick.
Just for our DJ night that, like, 30 people would come to.
Sick.
Like, yeah. It was just, that's the thing, it's like, anytime I've done something, it's just for fun.
Chris Kirk is low-key funny.
Oh, I love Chris, yeah. I
mean, even when you're telling these stories, like, because, like, he has a very, like, soft voice. No, like just, like, very narrative voice.
Yeah.
So when he was talking, he was like, yep, so we played the garage. It was, like, shit all over the floor. And I'm like, what you're just saying is, like, the craziest thing.
But you're
just saying it's so,
it just
so, like,
what? Very matter of fact.
Yeah. Maybe,
like, this is what happened.
Yeah. And we left. There was a lot of shit. You know,
yeah.
Of shit. You know, that was it. I was like, okay, sick.
Sick.
All right.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say?
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I hope that, you know, you got to know me a little bit more, and I think you've had some really cool guests. I'm a big fan of the pod, so it's a great honor to be on here, and I really do appreciate it.
Sick. Thank you. Let's do this or that.
Yeah, sure.
All right. You know what this or that is? So I'm going to ask you, like, so
yeah, you're like, which one or that one? Yeah. All
right. So you know a lot about music, so we're going to try to do as much as we can.
Yeah, for sure.
Or would you carry in or a kitsa?
A kitsa.
Walmart or Target?
Target.
Orange soda or Coke?
Coke.
Metallica or Slayer?
Slayer.
Hatebreed or Cold as Life?
Cold as Life.
Mick Foley or Sabu?
Oh, that's so hard. I gotta go with Mick.
RVD or The Sandman?
RVD.
Green Day or Blink?
Blink.
Turnstile or Angel Dust?
Turnstile.
Pantera or Crowbar?
Pantera.
Mayhem or Dark Throne?
Ooh, that's another really tough one. Probably Dark Throne.
Dark Throne is better. Mayhem looks cooler, but Dark Throne is better.
Yeah. Dark Throne had more better records, for sure.
Yeah.
Mayhem was infamous for a lot of reasons. Yeah. I'm sure everyone knows.
They're more punk.
Yeah. Anyway.
The Cums or The Sexual?
The Cums.
Gizm or Goss?
Oh, Gizm.
Stone Island or Arc'teryx?
Stone Island.
Oh, yeah, you're a
Stone Island. I'm a Stone Island guy. Most all the things you name, I like them. It's just I gotta pick one's just a little bit better. Yeah.
Blazing Eye. Nothing beats Blazing Eye, I think, like in their realm. But,
yeah.
All right, but that's where we're gonna wrap it up.
We'll wrap it up. Well, yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for letting me into your home and letting me interview you and ask you some questions.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Wait, I got one more.
Okay.
Discharge or disclose?
Discharge. Because you can't have one without the other.
Yeah. No, that was the point. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Give us a 5-star.